Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Your word is the truth. May you speak truth into our life now. In your name, amen. So think about the people nowadays when they compete for track, all that they do to get ready for an event. Obviously, they train hard. That's the most important thing. They train very hard. But then you know how it goes. They make sure they wear super light shoes with the proper grip for whatever surface they're running on. And then they'll wear that super light clothing that is made professionally. It's supposed to be aerodynamic and creates less wind drag. And then it also wicks the perspiration off faster than regular clothes. And some runners will even shave their legs so that they have less wind resistance. There are people out there that are very serious about running and racing, and well, they should be. Now imagine those same people, after they've done all that to prepare, on the day of the race, they take a backpack and put 80 pounds of rocks in it, put it on their shoulder, and then run the race. We'd go look at them and we'd kind of think, what is going on here? But isn't that what you and I sometimes do? That the more important question is, do you and I sometimes run our race with dead weight strapped to our back? And of course, sometimes we do. So this is the first Sunday in Lent. Each week until Easter, we'll look at some of the dead weight we sometimes carry and perhaps lay some of it aside so that we might be freer to run our race as God would have us to run it. So today, let's talk about physical stuff. The physical stuff we sometimes strap to our back, so to speak, and try to run our race with. And let's be clear, there is nothing wrong with stuff. Even having lots of it. Let's make sure we're clear. There's nothing wrong with stuff, even having lots of stuff. On the sixth day after God finished creating the world, he stepped back, and then in Genesis 1:31 it says, he saw all that he had made, all the stuff that he had made, and what did he say? It was very good. Not just good, but very good. We like stuff because God makes and enables us to make some very good stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there that's pretty cool, isn't there? I don't know about you, but I like my books. I like my DVDs. I like my computer. I like my phone. I am glad that I have a house and chairs and tables and so on and so forth. There's a lot of good stuff out there. In fact, God often blesses his children with stuff. And not just the stuff we need, but stuff we don't need. Paul in 1 Timothy 6:17 said that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He richly provides us with all kinds of stuff. Why? To enjoy it. Any good parent, you know how parents are, any good parent, they give their children the things that they need, and then what do? They also give them a lot of stuff that they don't need. Why? So that they can enjoy it. For no other reason than that. Most of the stuff that God gives us to enjoy are non-material. Family, friends, things like that. But he also gives us a lot of stuff just so that we can enjoy it. And sometimes he not only gives it to us, not only does he provide it for us, but as our text said, he richly provides it for us. Think of some of the saints in the Bible and how incredibly rich they were. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joel, David. And we could go on and on and on. So once again, I'll say it again, there's nothing wrong with having stuff and nothing wrong with having a lot of stuff, a lot of it. But let's remind ourselves that you and I are blessed with a lot of stuff. Whether we think we are or not, we are blessed with a lot of stuff. When I was young, Dad and Mom had one car. Linnell and I have three. One's an old beater that we don't use for much, but we have three. Mom and Dad had one. When I was young, we didn't have indoor plumbing. The parsonage, as you probably know, has 2.5 baths. When I was young, we had two or three shirts and pants for school and two or three shirts and pants for working around home. That was it. I counted my shirts the other day, long sleeve, short sleeve, dress, casual, work, 107. And you laugh, but you go home and count how many shirts you have. We're blessed with stuff. We're blessed with stuff. When I was young, Mom bought Pop only for special occasions like July 4th. So if we had Pop twice a year, that was something. I don't know how to start my morning out nowadays without my Diet Coke. We're blessed with stuff. I could go on and on. Throughout most of human history, most people from most countries didn't have running water. We all do. Not only that, many people from the world nowadays and throughout most of history, many people did not even have access to clean water. We do. We're rich. The homes that most people lived in throughout history and in many parts of the world, we would call a hut or a shack. Often they were one room and the whole family lived in that one room. How many rooms do we have in our houses? And some people have house and a cabin and so on and so forth. And of course, back then, nobody had electricity. Think of all the things that we have because of electricity and the things that we really appreciate, our washer and our dryer, our refrigerator. Throughout most of history, what did people have to do? They had to take their clothes down to the river or use a big tub and washboard or beat their clothes with rocks. We don't have to. We're rich. Again, there's nothing wrong with stuff, nothing wrong with having a lot of stuff. But let's admit it, we have lots and lots and lots of stuff. We do. We have lots of it. Now let's think about how our stuff can weigh us down. I'm not saying it does. I'm not saying it always does. But sometimes it can. So let's think about how our stuff sometimes weighs us down. And let me list three ways. One, our stuff, which is meant to be our servant, can become our master. As I always say, everything that we tie ourselves to ties us down. Everything we possess, to some extent, possesses us. The more stuff we have, the more we have to take care of our stuff. You buy a house, you got to take care of your house. You buy a car, you got to take care of your car. That's how it goes. If you buy a boat, you got to get it ready for the lake in the spring and then get it ready for winter in the fall. Everything you have has you to some extent. And the more stuff you have, the more it tends to have you. And pretty soon you spend a lot of time, if not playing with your stuff, taking care of your stuff. And so as Jesus warned in Luke 21:34, pretty soon our hearts are weighed down with the cares of this life when they don't need to be. Only so much stuff can fit in our days. Too much stuff doesn't free us, it just weighs us down. Number two, our stuff can easily distract us from God. We can love our stuff, play with our stuff, take care of our stuff, maintain our stuff, and so on and so forth, to such a degree that we either have no time for God or we simply forget about Him. And it's no wonder Jesus said in Mark 10:23, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Think about how many people in our country are bogged down by stuff. They don't have time to pray and read the word each day, but they have time to watch several hours of TV. They're too weak to make it to church, but they're strong enough to go up to the cabin and play with all the toys they have up there. They can't afford to support the work of the Lord, but they are somehow able to afford a new truck and a new ATV. Do you see how stuff can distract us from the Lord? And three, our stuff can hinder our ministry if we're not careful. This happened to Demas. We don't know a lot about Demas. He apparently went on a missionary journey with Paul. And then in his letter to Timothy, Paul said, Apparently Demas had deserted Paul. Paul said to Timothy, "Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Because of his love for the present world, he bailed on the mission trip and deserted Paul. Now, we don't know that this was for material reasons, and when people bail on ministry, it's not always for material reasons. It's often worldly reasons, but not always material reasons. But sometimes it is. Think of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, who wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, if you would be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and he went away sad because he loved his stuff more than he loved following Christ. All too often, people who are into their stuff don't have time to serve the Lord. So once again, stuff can weigh us down. It can become our master. It can distract us from God, and it can hinder our ministry. But that would never happen to you and me, right? Right? We're talking about other people here, right? Remember, we live in extremely materialistic society. If you had a scale with zero not materialistic at all and 10 extremely materialistic, if the United States isn't a 9, if it's not a 10, I mean, it's at least a 9. Our society is way over on the materialistic side. And so when we are a little less materialistic than they are, what does that mean? Does that mean we're a 2 or 3? No, it means we're a 7 or 8. Still pretty far on the materialistic side. Do you get that? Our society is so far over that when we're a little less like them, we're still pretty far on that side of the scale. So you know, suppose we go into a home of someone and they have 4 big screen, flat screen TVs, and we go, we're not like that. We only have 2 flat screen TVs in our house. Yeah, we're not as extreme as they are, but we still have 2 flat screen TVs. And not saying it's bad, but what does most of the world have? They don't have 2 flat screen TVs, and much of the world doesn't even have enough food to eat. Do you see how we can be influenced by our society without even knowing it? It's easy to fall into the trap of the world. So I encourage you this next week to answer 3 questions. To take your time, think these through, and answer 3 questions. 1, do I have more stuff than I need? And I think, if we're truthful, almost every one of us would say, yes, I do. So question number 1, and again, that's not necessarily bad. It's just, do I have more stuff than I need? So that's the first question. 2nd question, is any of my stuff or the sheer amount of my stuff weighing me down and hindering me in my walk with the Lord or in my ministry? Now it's a little bit more personal. Is any of my stuff or the sheer amount of stuff that I have hindering me in my relationship with the Lord or in my ministry? And I can't answer that one for you. I wouldn't even dare to try. That's just between you and God. But I'd encourage you to ask that question. And 3, similarly, same type of question. Do I need to get rid of some of my stuff and or put it to better use? And again, only you and God can answer that. I wouldn't even dream of trying to answer that for you. I confess, there was a time in my life when I had way more stuff than I could handle. I like science fiction books. Every time I'd go to a garage sale and I'd see, oh, here's another one for a dime. Or I'd go to a thrift store, oh, here's 4 or 5 more for a dime each, or 15 cents or a quarter each. And then the library, the local library, had a sale and they were getting rid of a bunch of their books. And you could buy these hardcover science fiction books for like 50 cents. Well, you know, why buy 4 or 5 if you can buy 40 or 50, right? I had more books for a while than I would ever read in my lifetime. Or how about this one? I bet you some of you guys can relate to this. There was a time I had 3 pump sprayers for weeds. Why? Because I couldn't find the first 2. And again, I bet you some people can relate to this one too. I'm not a handyman. I can do some things, but I'm not a handyman. But I like tools. And so I'd see a tool and I'd think, I might use this one day. One year, this life or the next, I gotta have this. And so I have all these tools that I'm not even sure I know how to use, but I have them. I like stuff. I like stuff. But even more, I like not being weighed down by stuff. And so there's times in my life when I just cull the herd, get rid of some stuff. Don't need it. It's not bad, but I don't need it. And I don't want to be weighed down. And thankfully, Christ can set us free from the burden of too much stuff, just like anything else. Christ can set us free. Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set you free. In Christ, you are free. And he has set you free to be free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You are free. Christ has set you free. In Christ, you are not a stuff-obsessed person. In Christ, you are not. So just be the person that you are. Be free, Christ. Paul said, be free and do not let yourself be enslaved again. Now bear with me. I have a little bit of a lengthy story that I need to tell you. Dale Ellington shared his experience about being in prison and then being released on a website called Quora. He told that he had been in prison for 5 years. He described prison, now I'm using his own words now, as overcrowded, dingy pits of hell. And then again, I quote, he said, when you go to prison, unless you have some type of mental issue, you are scared to death and you are sure your life is over. So he's not advocating prison life for anyone. But he went on to say, there's something about prison that after you've been in prison for a while, you find appealing, strangely enough. And that's the bonds of brotherhood you develop in prison. He described being in prison and going through the things you go through with your fellow inmates as like the soldiers in the trench who go through war together. Because both are going through hell together, you form bonds that you wouldn't in the normal outside world. And so he said, and now I'm quoting again, I remember seeing guys get out and a few months later they walk back into the unit, meaning they've been arrested again. Sent to prison again. Sometimes it looks like a homecoming or when you see people that meet and embrace at an airport. Everyone looks so happy, even the guy who just started his new sentence. His brothers are bringing him shoes, food, asking him what he needs. The guy back with the new charges is asking about his other friends. Are they okay? Did they get out? And so on. And Dale himself has been out of prison for a number of years. I think it was like well over a decade. But this is one of the final things he says, commenting how some ex-cons yearn to be back in prison. He said, I am just now, after all these years being outside prison, I am just now addressing and trying to deal with that part of myself that wishes I could escape this cold, cruel world and go back to the loving comfort I felt in the middle of a prison riot. Isn't that amazing? Christ has set us free. Unfortunately, for any number of reasons, sometimes like Dal, we don't want to be free. We'd rather be enslaved. How sad is that? Sometimes we love our stuff so much that we don't care if it's weighing us down. How sad is that? For freedom, Christ has set us free, Galatians 5:1. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You are free. Be free. So think again about what people do nowadays to compete and track. Practice hard, train hard, wear the right shoes, wear the right clothing, shave the legs, so on and so forth. And not one of the racers ever straps a backpack with 80 pounds of dead weight on their shoulder. But you and I sometimes do. As we run our race, we strap that backpack to our back and we try to run our race carrying 80 pounds of dead weight. Like the runner, we practice hard. We read and study our Bible. We pray through our list every morning and evening, depending on what our bent is. We go to church, are with each other in fellowship. Sometimes we even go to studies, seminars, and classes, which sharpen our focus on what we are supposed to do and be. And then we try to run the race with that backpack on and wonder why we don't run the race very well at all. Go figure. Hard to imagine why, isn't it? We're not the first to run the race. We won't be the last. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all those who have gone before us. And then we are told to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and let us run the race with endurance. Time is short. Maybe soon people would not be running a race anymore. So as the author of Hebrews said, let us lay aside every weight, anything that holds us back, and run our race in a way that pleases the Lord that we love and the Lord that we worship. Amen. Lord, you bless us with stuff, and thank you for that. I like my stuff. There's a lot of stuff that I have that I like a lot. And these are all gifts from you, and I praise you for them. But may the stuff that we have never, ever weigh us down to the point where we are distracted from you, or to the point where it hinders our ministry. Help us this week just to pause for an hour, maybe. Or 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, later in the week, another 10 minutes, however you lead us. But help us to pause, Lord, and take a hard, long look at our stuff. Praising you again for how you blessed us. That's the main thing. But also asking hard questions. Am I hindered by some of my stuff? Am I trying to run the race with it strapped to my back? And if so, Lord, help us to lay it aside. We love our stuff, but we love you so much more. You are good to us, Lord. Sometimes I fear too good. How good you are to us, Lord. May we be more like you. We praise your name, Lord. Amen.